This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome, everyone, to Marking Out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 795. Thanks for listening. Make sure that you are subscribed and downloading on all of your podcast platforms, such as on Spotify. Give us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star frog splash. Give us also a t-shirt sale. Go buy a t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. In addition to that, give us a like on Facebook. In addition to that, give us a follow on TikTok at markingout. In addition to that, give us a follow on Twitter at markingout. In addition to that, give us a follow on Instagram at markingout11. In addition to that, follow me, myself, and I at Dave the Rave. Negative. I am Dave the Rave. But follow me at David PT DPT. Follow Brandon at... No. You're going out of order, silly. Go follow Chris at Chris Sweeney Dog, CM Sweeney 85, and then follow Brandon at BTTG161. Brandon, how are you?
I am doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah. Yo.
What's up?
Not much.
Yeah.
Didn't really do anything this week. Catching a flight down to Florida, so. Quite the limited show, but we're still giving you 100% of ourselves. If you feel so inclined to do so, rate, review, subscribe. It'd be great.
Yeah, that would be really cool of you.
A little leg ski on YouTube. Get the algorithm going.
Mm-hmm.
But how was your week?
Hey, my week was fantastic. Fantastic. Incredible. Wow. Amazing. How about you?
Like I said, I already answered that.
Yeah.
Didn't really do much.
Well, there you have
it. I watched AAA. I'll talk about that later. I watched Monday Night Raw. NXT, I'll talk about right after that by myself. But Monday Night Raw kicked off with Seth Rollins bringing up Bron Breakker being the reason why he lost to Gunther. Not because Gunther is better than him. He also said that the reason why Roman Reigns is walking around with his championship is because of Gunther. Obviously, there's a lot of steps in between there to get there, but Roman Reigns is walking around with the World Heavyweight Championship. He called out Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker came out and said that Seth Rollins needed the Vision, and now he has nobody. Breakker, by the way, popped the absolute heck out of me with his impression of Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I thought that was so funny.
When he held his nose, I'm the visionary. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, he kind of nailed it.
He said the only reason why he's standing there is because Bron Breakker needed Paul Heyman. And Seth put Bron Breakker over big time, kind of surprising. And he said that he has everything to be that next big thing except for a brain. I don't think he actually said that, but he heavily implied it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's not ready for the main event. Bron Breakker fired back saying that he is. I definitely thought he was ready for the main event. I had picked him to be the World Heavyweight Champion already.
I don't know about already, but definitely in the picture of it.
I'm pretty sure we all picked Bron Breakker.
Did we?
I thought so. Maybe not.
Actually, yeah, because I think we said Royal Rumble winner leading to WrestleMania, obviously.
So, yeah. I think I'm almost certain I thought Bron Breakker was going to end last year as champion, maybe. I don't know.
I cannot tell you that one. But, yeah, it was a great promo. But next up, you had Penta pick up the victory over Rusev to retain his championship. You had All Ego, Ethan Page at ringside during this. And this was a solid matchup, especially I think that it's really good to see Rusev getting the action in there. I thought it was a solid match.
I liked the match. I did not like the ending. The ending was like that sort of quick roll up there. I didn't care for that. I didn't mind the involvement because it wasn't actually I mean, there was some outside involvement with Ethan Page, but not really. Not that I would consider like a distraction or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, should he have been on commentary maybe?
I was fine with actually all of it. And the end with the quick pin, I'm fine with it because it makes Rusev still a powerhouse of a wrestler, which I feel like we're limited in having outside, because who else do you have? War Raiders, Sheamus. There's not many powerhouse in appearance wrestlers that could be in this middle of the line category. So I think that Rusev losing by that quick schoolboy, totally fine with it.
He also attacked Penta afterwards, and Ethan Page got in the ring, and Rusev kind of backed him away.
I actually liked that part where it was kind of like...
I think we saw that last week, too.
I don't remember, but it kind of reminded me of like two dogs going for their bone, and the bigger dog looking at the little one being like, no, this is my bone. Or my food, and the other one backing up. I really like that, especially because both of them are heels. And then at the end, they ended up both kind of beating on him a bit.
Yeah, Penta fought back, and Ethan Page jumped in, so they stomped him out. And Javon Evans ran down to make the ultimate save. Penta came back with a kick to Rusev right before that OG cutter. So,
yeah, I thought it was good, though.
Did you happen to see that interview with Javon the other week where they were asking him about these moves that he does?
No.
I liked his answer where he said that he did. I'm going to completely paraphrase it, but it was something like he's doing these moves now to the flashy moves and the high-risk moves to get noticed and get the fans behind him. And then eventually he knows he has to change his moveset and not do moves like this that are super risky.
Okay, I could respect that.
And I really like that mindset. I wish more people had that mindset there, too.
I mean, it definitely makes sense. I mean, hopefully it doesn't pigeonhole him into that category where he doesn't really
I mean, if he knows what he wants to do there, I think that's going to work for him.
I agree with you, but the downside is that if everybody starts to see Javon Evans as this jumpy kind of a guy, and then he starts to switch it up and stuff like that, it does become difficult because once he switches it up, it doesn't guarantee that the fans will still be behind him. So it'll be interesting to see, but I do agree with you. It's a good answer.
We had, but again, it's paraphrased. We had Becky Lynch come out. She ran down all her accolades, her WrestleMania accolades, called out The Undertaker. But she also said that she knows the people want her to defend the title. So she issued an open challenge, and then Io Sky showed up to accept, and Becky Lynch was like, oh, no. I want new challengers. You're old. I don't want this. And she's like, I want Sean, not Marty, referring to Rhea Ripley as Shawn Michaels, her as Marty Jannetty. And then before anything could really happen between the two of them, Becky Lynch, first of all, backed out, and Adam Pearce came out, made the match official. And we go into that match where Becky Lynch picked up the victory over Io Sky to retain. I thought this was a great match.
I agree with you. I think that I marked out for that kick that Io gave to Becky. Awesome.
She reversed the over the moonsault, hit a manhandle slam. I thought that was about to be it. Io kicked out.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the match, Io lost a shoe. And Asuka out, tripped her up.
She didn't really lose it. She took it off. But
did she? I thought it just came off.
Oh, no. She actually took it off really fast on her way to going up to the apron. Because I could only assume that it probably came loose or something. And she does a lot of the rebound moves, which it could get dangerous if your shoe isn't, secure. So I could only assume that she made that quick call, which is... such a veteran maneuver. I mean, it led into Asuka coming down and grabbing her by the ankle and pulling her into the ring apron and then leading to Becky getting the advantage on her.
Yeah, and then Asuka continued the attack afterwards. The crowd very loudly chanted for Kairi Sane. The WWE, I believe, tried to mute it. If you hear the WWE Netflix audio versus the in-crowd audio, it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
The match is happening at Backlash, but I feel like it matters just a little bit less without Kyrie there and a big payoff.
I agree with you. I think that it really is surprising with the Kyrie payoff. I mean, you see the speculation and rumors out there as the reasons for it, but I feel like even with the speculations, I would have liked to get that closure of that entire storyline, considering how great of a storyline they really have. You know, unless the only thing I could think of is if, let's say she hypothetically wanted to go back to Japan and her contract like was up, in order for her to finish the story, they would have to sign her to a new contract, which maybe...
Pay her. Finish the storyline. You can't...
I know.
In pro wrestling, you can't not finish the storyline like that. You're not like...
I know.
There are examples of stories not being finished, but like, who pied Kevin Owens? Not one of the longest feuds right now in WWE.
Yeah, there was so much storyline left with Kyrie and Asuka and them and Io. And I hope at some point we do get to revisit everything.
I hope in Backlash. I hope she shows up in Backlash. She was trending. We Want Kyrie was trending for quite a few days.
Such a talent.
Under sports, we had We Want Alistair, We Want Zelina, We Want Motor City Machine Guns, We Want Wyatt Six. Kyrie Sane was trending worldwide.
Yeah, obviously, unfortunately, there was a lot of WWE releases with a lot of the names that you just mentioned, you know, and it sucks whenever this happens after WrestleMania. And of course, we wish everybody the very best, and, you know, hopefully we could see some of them just shine bright in the spotlight that most of them deserve to be in. Like, a lot of these wrestlers, such as Kairi Sane, Aleister Black, like you mentioned, deserve to have a few spotlight matches on them. So,
also, it's absolutely, absolutely disgusting hearing the sickos talk about Aleister Black and how, like, all those negative comments about him. It's just gross. There's somebody else that he did it to. I forget who recently.
Yeah, I saw people.
Oh, Motor City Machine Guns. How am I so stupid to forget that? So many AEW fans, they need to earn their spot. They need to pay their dues to get to AEW.
Pay their dues to get to AEW?
Are you kidding me?
How about you think about how it can help grow AEW? I mean, and to be honest with you, with the Wyatt Six, I think in my perspective, they're very limited due to them being...
I think TNA does that sort of wrestling the best.
What do you mean?
So if they were to continue the Wyatts, if they were able to, I think that is like a slam dunk there.
I mean, I don't think that they could go by the Wyatts, obviously, but I feel like I wouldn't say
obviously. You never know.
I wouldn't have...
It might
have...
be like, listen, we know...
No.
It is what it
wouldn't.
Is.
I mean, unless...
But to say I swear to God, to say the Motor City Machine Guns need to pay dues before getting signed to AEW? Are you kidding me?
That's a little bit insane. But I feel like the Wyatt Six, I would have liked it if their gimmick is limited in my perspective. It would have been nice to see them break out of that gimmick and into more of a humanized gimmick. But just because I feel like it's limited.
Also, now the sickos love celebrity involvement because Kevin Nealon tweeted AEW and WWE saying he challenges Danny DeVito to a match, and Tony Khan responded to him. So now all the sickos are like, yes, we're going to pump it up. Woohoo!
Jeez. Crazy. But
after that, we had Joe Hendry have a concert.
Yeah.
He sang about signing to Monday Night Raw and then asked Adam Pearce to fire Logan Paul, which the crowd sang along. It was hilarious. And I feel like, yeah, it's a bit tone deaf on the timing there.
Mm-hmm.
Had this been any other month or so, you just released a bunch of people on Friday, and then you're singing about let's fire somebody on Monday. That's
oh, I gotcha. I think that it was weird to me. They did miss the entire entrance, the turnaround, and everything.
That I'm fine with that. There was a whole thing. They set it up for it was for TV.
Mm-hmm.
They cut to him in the ring already.
Yeah.
But the Vision came out. Logan Paul was obviously pissed off. Joe Hendry ended up attacking the Vision. They attacked him. He was outnumbered. And the Street Profits made the save. So they have nothing to do with Seth Rollins like I thought last week. It's just the titles that they want. And even backstage, they put Seth Rollins down. They laughed at the fact that Seth Rollins thought maybe they'd want to have anything to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very interesting. So I'm happy to see that. It's weird because Seth Rollins is now, like, literally, like Bron Breakker said, he's alone. He's got nobody.
That's very true. Very, very true.
So it's interesting to see that. The concert, it was what it was. I think it accomplished what it needed to do. But at the same time, where does it put Joe Hendry? Because he's not, is he going to be feuding with the Vision, or are the Street Profits going to be feuding with the Vision? Is it going to go from the Usos and LA Knight to the Street Profits and Joe Hendry? With Bron Breakker mixed in? Is Seth Rollins getting mixed in again? I
think that it's just going to be Rollins with the focus on Bron.
Bron Breakker. And the Street Profits with the Vision. So where's Joe Hendry?
Joe Hendry?
It's not going to be a concert every week.
Honestly, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Because the last thing I want to see is another six-man tag. So I don't know where Joe Hendry will fit in, especially because you have the Street Profits involvement. I don't know. Yeah, there's no way to fit in Joe Hendry. I don't know. But next up, you had Rey Mysterio pick up the victory over El Grande Americano. This matchup was awesome, and Rey Mysterio, every time I see him wrestling, it makes me just marvel at how this guy is over 50 years old, has been in ECW, Japan, WCW, WWF, WWE, and
he,
I was
he
just
worked
like,
all in. Don't forget that he worked all in.
He was with AEW.
It was before AEW existed. He worked all in.
Huh.
That first All-In show?
Oh, I didn't even remember him being there.
He was in the main event with Lucha Bros, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't even remember. But even still, to see him going as fast as he's going right now, I think that right now he's even looking better than he was when at some moments during his actual career. I think right now he's doing great stuff.
Some of this match was disappointing to me. I liked the setup for it because El Grande Americano challenged Rey Mysterio specifically to get ready for his mask versus mask match against Original at Noche de los Grandes. And then you had Rey Mysterio speak to Original later on, trying to be like, not really pick sides, but almost like trying to plant seeds. And Rey was like, I just want Lucha to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
And unless I'm making it up in my head, I could swear the fans were cheering El Grande Americano in this match as well. Until Los Americanos cheated here, I could swear they were cheering for him.
I thought so too.
And then Americano had the steel plate. Original showed up to stop him from using it, and I think they booed. I don't know who they booed there. I'm super torn as to who they booed.
I know. I feel like they booed Gable, but then I heard clips of them not booing Gable. I think the crowd is just confused.
And then Rey Mysterio hit the 619 off of that, but I really, really, really wish that they played it up more, that Americano is this huge babyface in AAA. Like, he wanted this match to prove that he's ready for that mask versus mask match. why is he losing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. And then Original attacked Americano afterwards. It was separated. I don't know why they couldn't just, like, play up that babyface factor there and had, like, that ultimate respect, like the handshake after the match.
I don't, there's no, with El Grande Americano?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know why, man. Like, they literally, you can't.
It's not, because he's a.
Rey Mysterio does commentary for Triple A. He watched El Grande Americano up with Tejano Jr. Like, there's no.
It's separate.
But you can't expect separate Monday, as it is, if the fans are there in Texas cheering for him.
Exactly, but you can't expect the Monday Night Raw crowd to know what's happening with Triple A.
I think the tides have turned almost. If the crowd is cheering for El Grande Americano, how do you not just, like, run with it?
I wouldn't
like, in my head, they were booing Original, but then they were booing when Los Americanos got involved also. I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I wouldn't agree. I mean, did they announce when the Mask versus Mask is going to be?
I did say, if you were listening to me.
I couldn't hear when.
It's, I think it's May 30th. It's Noche de los Grandes.
May 30th. All right. It'll be fun. Hopefully we get to have more interactions with Gable and El Grande Americano on Monday Night Raw. But next up, you had Obafemi pick up the victory over Grayson Waller. Obafemi issuing an open challenge too on that mic.
I like the backstage segment that set this up. I thought was funny, where, like, Grayson Waller's talking trash and Adam Pearce is trying to tell him that, like, brother, he's right behind you. So mm-hmm. I thought that was funny. But yeah, this was a quick match. The main meat and potatoes of this is that Obafemi said he's gonna, because what was the setup for it? Somebody's champion here, somebody's champion there, so I'll do an open challenge here.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who specifically he mentioned. He might have mentioned Roman Reigns, and he might have mentioned Cody Rhodes. Not 100% sure, but I don't know who we're going to be seeing step up to challenge Obafemi. They fired the whole roster, so.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't even know who's going to feud with him outside of... I mean, who do you want to see in a feud with Obafemi?
I don't have anyone.
The only person for me would be probably Gunther. I mean, I would probably want to see another powerhouse step up to Obafemi, but I don't know who else I would want to see step up to him.
Perhaps from El Ojo, Omos?
Maybe, but
probably
then even
not.
Then Obafemi would go over.
Yeah, I don't think Obafemi with these open challenges are going to be losing at all.
No, he can't.
Earlier in the night, we saw the Judgment Day attack Stephanie Vaquer, and then Michael Cole announced that she has a second-degree AC sprain of her left shoulder. So I believe they said she could be out 6 weeks or, like, months.
Aye. That sucks.
So that's unfortunate. But Liv Morgan also spoke to Roxanne Perez about what she was going to talk about before Stephanie Vaquer made them bump heads. And she wanted to talk to Roxanne Perez about what happened with Finn Balor. And Roxanne was like, we're family. And then Liv Morgan left and Finn Balor showed up. And he told Roxanne Perez not to trust the Judgment Day. And then she questioned if she could even trust him.
Mm-hmm.
How did he break into the clubhouse?
I mean,
where was he hiding?
Yeah, then that entire... It makes you wonder and everything. And Raquel, I mean... Perez was questioning. And I don't know where we're going to end up seeing her allegiance kind of lie. I guess maybe we'll see her... I feel like we're going to see her align with Liv. And then at some point have Liv turn on her. And then it's kind of like a Balor being like, I warned you and everything. And then people get behind Perez. And then maybe Perez wins the championship from that.
Possible.
Maybe. But next up, you had the Judgment Day pick up the victory over Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. I thought it was
Don't
a good match.
Like yeah, I like this, but Roxanne was over big time. hometown kid from Laredo, Texas. They were booing Bayley and Lyra when they were in the ring with Roxanne. So that was a very interesting dynamic of the match. I liked Bayley countering that first Pop Rocks attempt with like a sort of powerbomb into the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Liv Morgan get involved. She dropped Bayley on the rope. I feel like right in front of the referee. I don't know how that wasn't like a DQ. Like you could literally see that. I thought at least.
Ref discretion?
But that led to Roxanne hitting the Pop Rocks on Bayley to get the victory. Fans were going absolutely nuts. So I was happy with this match.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
To close Monday Night Raw, we had Roman Reigns come out, and he said that he mentioned the whole World Heavyweight Championship, why it exists, which is just like, pisses me off. And he said that the title doesn't make the man doesn't make the title. No, the title doesn't make the man makes the title, I think. And the fans were cheering him. I thought this was like heel promo 101. And very disrespectful to not only Seth Rollins, who established the championship very well, might I add, but also everyone else who held the title. Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, Gunther, Jey Uso, CM Punk. All of that screamed heel to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob Fatu showed up. He's like, I didn't need a week to think about it. I didn't need a minute to think about it. I want the match. And he spoke about how he just wants to feed his family. Jacob Fatu brought up how Solo Sikoa called him to get him into WWE. And Roman's like, no. Who do you think signed off on that? And they went back and forth. Fatu locked Roman Reigns in the Tongan death grip. And he said he's taken everything from Roman Reigns and... After that, Roman Reigns accepted the match. So we're going to see for the World Heavyweight Championship at Backlash, Roman Reigns versus Jacob Fatu. I thought the segment last week was much better than this week's segment. I liked the Tongan death grip spot, but overall, man, I liked it a lot better last week.
I thought it was good, but now I'm glad that we got our interaction with the Tonga grip, but... This has to lead
to me in a perfect world. It's Jacob Fatu going over Roman Reigns. The Usos joining up with Jacob Fatu or just turning their backs on Roman, seeing Roman for Roman or whatever. And I feel like that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you can't. In my perspective, you can't have Roman lose the championship that quick after WrestleMania.
I mean, you can, but I mean, if you're going to put Jacob Fatu over big time like that, I think
that's the way to do it.
So, yeah. Will that happen? I don't think so. But that is Monday Night Raw. Moving over to NXT. It opened with a meeting between Robert Stone, Shawn Michaels, and Matt Bloom discussing new talents that they need in NXT with all the call-ups to Raw and SmackDown. They mentioned LFG, they mentioned Evolve, they mentioned International. I'll put a pin in that. First match saw Miles Bourne pick up the victory over Saquon Sugars to retain the championship. Dark State got involved, but Miles Bourne was able to hold the ring. The pad on one of the turnbuckles fell off at one point. Sugars pulled Miles Bourne into that to hurt his throat. I thought that was a good spot. I like the pin attempts in this match. I also really like the sell of that dropkick from Miles Bourne. Sugars was just flopped forward onto the top rope from the top rope. I thought that was really well done. I'm not quite sure if I've seen that before. Dion Lennox went to use a chair. Saquon yelled at him. Miles Bourne threw him into Dion Lennox. And then got him into the ring. Hit Bourne again. Gets the victory. Tristan Angel showed up afterwards, congratulated him on the victory. It was a heelish promo there. And then Cam Hendricks attacked Miles Bourne from behind. Tristan, we've seen on AAA and Evolve. Cam from LFG. After that, Tony D'Angelo came out. He said, nobody's tough enough to kick him off the mountaintop, including whoever sent that box last week. He knows it was a warning, it wasn't a gift, and then the lights went out. It was, in fact, Evil making his debut. He gave Tony something with the same symbol as the box, and then he left. I liked Vic Joseph mentioning that he's a former IWGP champion. He alluded to Evil, but they don't have a name for him. He's definitely not going to be Evil in NXT, but I'm happy to see him there. We've literally followed him for so many years. We were introduced to him in 2013 by Sumi Sakai. I'm very happy to see where he's gone with New Japan, and I'm very much so looking forward to seeing what he does in WWE. But he was not the only person to show up. Tavion Heights shows up, takes out Tony D'Angelo, and then Will Cruz. I don't even think that was a rumor to have been coming to WWE. Hits a moonsault on Tony D'Angelo. He's done Progress and Noah, a bunch of other UK promotions. And I think he is very capable in the ring. I'm very much so looking forward to see what he also does in WWE. That really came out of nowhere. You had Birthright. Lexus King announced that EK Prosper won't have a tag team partner because Dorian got taken out. And then they cut to a video of them literally taking him out. EK Prosper ran out to fight, and Birthright, obviously they're jumping on him. They have the upper hand. Shawn Legacy returned from his injury. And then it sets up EK Prosper, Shawn Legacy picking up the victory over Stax and Uriah Connors. I thought they had good back and forth here. I thought that the Michinoku driver from Prosper was about to be the end of the match. But they kept going. Stax tagged himself in. Prosper took him down, hit a moonsault. Shawn Legacy tagged himself in, hit that screwdriver move, and got the victory off of that. And then Birthright attacked them after the match. Tate Wilder from Evolve made the save. This was quite the exciting episode of NXT. Bunch of fresh faces. Lola Vice came out. She called Izzy Dame out. Sean Spears showed up on the screen and mentioned being one step ahead. And from behind, Nico Vance and Izzy Dame showed up. And one step ahead, Mr. Iguana showed up from under the ring, helped out Lola Vice. And I thought that was awesome. I was a big fan of this. This episode, this felt more like an episode after WrestleMania than anything that we've seen from the other brands, I think. Lizzie Rain picked up the victory over Nikita Lyons. I thought this was a good debut for Rain, and I thought this was a good return for Nikita Lyons. Her theme song kind of sounds like a knockoff of Hot for Teacher by Van Halen. It's not a Def Rebel track, it's a production track. I also feel like they didn't mention her being related to Clive Burr from Iron Maiden. I feel like that's like a no-brainer sort of thing to mention, but a fan did have a sign related to that, and they did show it, and I thought that was pretty cool. I liked that Thunderstruck finisher from Rain, and I am looking forward to seeing more. We had Kalani Jordan pick up the victory over Ren Sinclair. This was a non-title match. This was such a solid match. They had great back and forth, and I would honestly say that the back and forth between the two of them was even better than that tag match. Ren Sinclair, at one point, she had hurt her knee, and she went for the final wrench, but because of her knee, she wasn't able to lock it in. Kalani Jordan took advantage of that, hit the one-legged, the one-of-a-kind moonsault, and got the victory off of that. I thought this was probably the best match. Not probably. This was the best match on NXT. They aired a vignette for Zarya, her basically saying bye to Sol Ruka. It was a very Marvel-esque promo where she said that she'll scorch everyone in her way. I'm pretty sure this was AI. A lot of people were complaining, like, how dare they? I thought this was a great vignette, though. I thought this was really well done. People were like, oh, it doesn't look like Sol Ruka. It doesn't look like Zarya. To me, it did. I didn't really, like, compare it to them, face, like, side by side. But I thought this was a good vignette. Earlier, you saw Shiloh Hill and Tatum Paxley burying Blake Monroe in a cemetery, and then we cut to the main event where Shiloh Hill picked up a huge victory over Ricky Saints. Saints is officially on SmackDown. I'll talk about that next week. And I feel like this was a step up for Shiloh Hill, not necessarily a step up for Ricky Saints. At one point, Shiloh Hill went under the ring, and Ricky Saints pulled out a dummy that was dressed like Shiloh Hill instead. So I thought that was funny, and Ricky Saints accidentally at one point pushed the referee and crotched Shiloh Hill, superplexed him. Saints, eventually in that match, grabs a chair. And he went face first into it because Shiloh Hill reversed it, hit a drop toe hold into the chair, and gets the victory. And then NXT closes with Tony D'Angelo talking to Shawn Michaels, and Shawn was like, well, you're the champion, this is what you wanted, now it's time to prove it. So I thought this was a very, very, very well done episode of NXT. I am not going to take a break. I'm not going to do SmackDown. Like I said earlier, I'm going to Florida, so I will do AAA. Last week, it opened with La Parca and Fenix picking up the victory over Money Machine. Money Machine attacked La Parca and Fenix before the bell. They did a hot tag spot really early on, and Money Machine stopped Fenix from getting that tag in. And then they did another tag spot where La Parca was ripped off the apron. They had a lot of back and forth here. I liked when La Parca jumped to the top rope and then dove over and out to the outside. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. I thought it was about to be a Frankensteiner. I literally don't recall ever seeing somebody jump to the top rope and then over somebody onto the outside. But from there, Fenix hit the Mexican Muscle Buster, gets the victory. They aired a video for La Catalina. They showed her from WrestleMania weekend, where she met John Cena, she met Dominic, and Dom was like, oh, I'm just, like, basically a reminder, I'm the, AAA's my company, I'm the mega champion. And then she was like, soon I'll be the Reina de Reinas champion. And then they showed old footage of her in NXT, they showed footage of her on Monday Night Raw with Zelina Vega and Andrade and Sin Cara. I thought that was a very well done get to know you sort of video, especially if you're like not 100% sure if you've never seen CMLL, but you might have been watching a few years ago and like it triggers a memory perhaps, or it just reminds you, or just for the first time ever seeing it, like, hey, she was here when she was younger. Now she's back. She has something to prove. You had El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. pick up the victory over Laredo Kid. This was champion versus champion, not title match. This was a fun match. Laredo Kid surprisingly controlled most of it. He even at one point hit the 450 off the apron to the floor. Wagner then body slammed Laredo Kid off the apron. I thought that was dope. But he hit a triple jump moonsault. Laredo Kid kicked out. Eventually wins with the Wagner driver. They shook hands afterwards. Laredo Kid seemed quite annoyed that he lost. And even, I mean, he took it out, maybe you'd say, on Phoenix later on, saying Phoenix is jealous that he doesn't have a title like Penta does, like Laredo Kid does. So it seems like we could potentially see Phoenix be the one that dethrones Laredo Kid. We had Maricela Pena in a video where she announced that she'll search for a new general manager. It'll be announced on May 23rd. A lot of people are speculating Rey Mysterio. For me, that would take him off commentary, I assume, which that it really wouldn't make sense for him to be the general manager while still active. Other people are suggesting Latin Lover, Chavo Guerrero. Some are even saying Vicky Guerrero. JBL threw his hat in the race. I don't think it'll be JBL. I don't think it'll be Ray. I don't know who it could potentially be to be like a huge sort of pop moment there. Earlier, they played multiple videos explaining the history between Tejano Jr. and El Macias, which I think is an awesome thing to do. Tejano Jr. in the main event teamed up with El Grande Americano, picked up the victory over El Macias and Mecha Wolf. The crowd was super hot for this. It's been a few years since Tejano Jr. wrestled in AAA, so I thought that was pretty cool. The match did get chaotic at times. I was not expecting El Grande Americano to win with that submission that he used, but, and I don't know if I've ever seen him finish a match like that. Commentary made it seem like we have, though, so I wasn't 100% sure. But Americano left so Tejano could get his flowers and the cheers from the fans. El Grande Americano Original shows up and attacks him. Locks him in the ankle lock. And then Americano ran back and Original ran off. I don't know. I mentioned on Monday Night Raw, I would have liked it to be on that Monday Night Raw match. I would have liked it to be more of like a friendly competition where they showcase Americano as a babyface. If he's doing that I'm preparing for the mask versus mask match, it just made sense to do that. So all in all, I was happy with this episode of AAA. I'm really hoping we see Tejano Jr. versus Dom, but given that ending of AAA, I don't think we will. So that's, like I said, I'm not doing SmackDown. Hey, Brandon, got any shout-outs?
Hey, wow, this is Owen Wilson. You're listening to Brandon's Shoutouts.
Stranger Things Tales from 85 is now out on Netflix. You said you didn't watch this at all, right?
No. No, not yet.
I was iffy on watching it, but the animation I thought is really awesome. It's set between seasons 2 and 3 in the winter, and none of the cast portrays themselves, I think, for obvious reasons. I think some of them are close enough to the voices, but They also have some bigger names. Odessa Zion is a new character. Janine Garofalo is a new character. Lou Diamond Phillips. Robert Englund is on this cast. He previously played Victor Creel in the show, but this is a new character.
Is he the only carryover?
But he's not technically a carryover.
Yeah, not technically a carryover, but he's the only voiceover that's been in the, well, I guess the
live action. I believe so. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that's...
Okay. For those that don't know, Freddy Krueger.
Accurate. But I don't think this is going to be a hit like Stranger Things was.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were hardcore into Stranger Things, I think you would enjoy it.
Okay.
The reviews aren't so kind, and I thought
for
what it was good.
I may have to reconsider that then.
Honestly, though, with the animation style, I would be surprised if it doesn't walk away with an Emmy, at least a nomination for an Emmy this year. But, and also, I feel like, I don't know if the story 100% would carry over, given that there are new characters. But I if you're in the Stranger Things universe, I think you would enjoy it.
I'll have to...
It's slow like Stranger Things, so strap in for that.
That's the thing I don't think I could do, is a slow thing. I mean,
you
tried...
did Stranger Things, so it's not...
Yeah, but that
it's
was
literally
also...
not any different.
That also... I mean, I don't know. I've tried to... I think recently I can't. I get too distracted into... Like, I've tried to watch 3 different TV shows recently, and the
you
slow pickups.
Down,
hey, students need my help. And even when I'm trying to focus, like I tried to watch Beef, I don't care. Like I tried to, I don't care. Like I tried to turn on some of these TV shows, and I start watching. I'm like, I don't care. Give me something to care about.
My next shout out, also a TV show. It's coming back, or it's back, I should say, for season 2 is Running Point on Netflix.
This
if
is another
haven't
one.
Seen, if you haven't seen season 1, did you check it out at all?
No, I saw the trailer and that was good enough.
If you haven't seen season 1, it's about a group of siblings who run a pro basketball team. It's loosely based on Jeannie Buss, who was the owner, I believe, and president of the... Why am I blanking on their names? The Lakers? I was going to say Dodgers. I was like, that's the wrong sport. But it stars Kate Hudson, Drew Tarver, Scott MacArthur, Brenda Song, among others. Justin Theroux's character is back from season one. He's back from rehab, basically trying to overthrow Kate Hudson's character as president. Ray Romano is on this season as a new coach. I think he's welcomed, a welcome addition. I like Ray Romano, so I thought he was great in this. I definitely hope for a third season. So I would say check it out.
I can't.
My last shout out goes to Nedra Tally Ross, who unfortunately passed away this week at the age of 80. She was a member of the Ronettes alongside her cousins, Ronnie Spector and Estelle Bennett. They were pioneers of the 1960s girl group sound, which, I mean, completely defined an era of music. When they toured in the UK in 1964, the Rolling Stones opened for them. In 1966, while they were already big, they opened for the Beatles on that tour. I believe the last time she performed with Ronnie was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2007 when they were inducted. And honestly, if I could go back in time, I would 100% want to go see the Ronettes. I saw Ronnie Spector once. That was not enough for me. I really wish I could have seen all of them together. They have countless hits that are just absolutely timeless. So my condolences to her family, her friends, all the fans around the world. Go listen to the Ronettes. Celebrate her. So those are my shout outs. Now it's time for our
Mark Out Moment of the Week.
That is right, our Mark Out Moment of the Week. I forgot to mention last week, but during WWE World, Mr. Iguana had wrestled, and there's a video of a kid who has a La Yesca puppet, and Mr. Iguana saw the La Yesca, tried to get the kid to throw it over him, and has to end up jumping off the stage to pick up the puppet. Obviously doesn't have a pen or anything with him. He wipes his face paint inside La Yesca's mouth. And I thought that was one of the coolest, like, moments, and one of the, I mean, I just said cool there, but also one of the coolest things to own, maybe.
That's pretty, well, the downside is hopefully it stays.
Yeah,
remains.
Hopefully it doesn't, oh yeah, hopefully they don't, like, play with it or anything at that point.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I marked out for his interactions with Danhausen.
Yeah.
Lieska
stole money from Danhausen.
Yeah. I marked out for also, everything Danhausen this week, especially with him and The Miz.
Did you see him get chopped by Lash Legend?
Yes, I saw that too. Yeah, I marked out for all of that, and I was just such a Fanhausen.
I watched else? The, what were you going to say?
No, what did you watch?
I watched the Hulk Hogan documentary on Netflix, and I thought it was cool seeing the TNA talent interviewed. It was just Jeremy Borash and Bully Ray, but I thought that was cool. And I think overall the documentary is good, but I don't think it's for wrestling fans. I think it's for the average person.
Mm-hmm. Is this stuff that we know already?
Like
if I watch it, am I going to be like, oh, this is cool? Or am I going to be like, I've heard this 500 times already.
I think there's new, it's his last interview. Technically his last interview. So yes, there's a lot of content in there. They do gloss over a whole bunch of stuff from his career that I feel like they could have done more episodes with. I mean, Brooke Hogan turned down being in the documentary. I really wish she was in it and mentioned more.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Linda was the big, like, I mean, she, obviously what they went through with their divorce was really sucky, but I think with her being in this documentary, I think it was like a huge, I don't know how to word it. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was good that she was in it.
No.
So I don't think... I mean, you typically hate documentaries as is, so...
No, it depends. Depends on the documentary. You know? It definitely depends.
So what were you going to say that you marked out for?
Well, I marked out for getting my three cards that I bought on eBay. Jushin Thunder Liger. It was Kenta Kobashi and Tanahashi. And I marked out for those because it's... I really like the ink on them, the marker. The gold on the black and silver on the black. Just really cool. So I marked out for those, and they may be three of my favorite cards that I've gotten to add to my collection, I think. So nice. Marked out for that, yeah.
I will say, I mentioned, obviously, as a shout-out, Tales from 85. I was not expecting a mention here, but WWF was mentioned by Max.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Max said something about going to watch WWF at somebody's house because they have cable. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty. That is cool.
But you have any other markout moments?
No, I do not.
I have to get the show number right this week. I said the wrong number last week. So
that's okay. We still love you.
I hate the fact that I said 793 last week when it was 794. But thank you so much for checking out episode 795 of Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Marking Out. Twitter, @MarkingOut, @BTTG161 on all platforms, @ChrisSweeneyDogCMSweeney85, DavidPTDBT on all platforms. YouTube and Instagram are MarkingOut11. You could purchase some merchandise, ProWrestlingTees.com/MarkingOut, @MarkingOut on TikTok. Watch our videos, share our videos, like our videos. Comment on our videos. You could rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and markingout.com. And we wish you
the
best
luck in your
of
future
luck in your future endeavor. Have a fantastic week.